Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
There is a trust fund of sorts that was put into place that covers everybody. And because of that endowment, because of that trust fund, because of that payment that was made and put in place, then everybody's covered, and anybody, whosoever will, the book says, can come. Whosoever.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so grateful you've tuned into the program. Richard wants to share with you some encouragement, words of hope, and probably a laugh or two. And in today's complicated, busy life, that's exactly what's needed. Richard's talks are always straight from the Bible, filled with truth. Now, you may not be able to hang out with us for the entire program, but you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellis.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellis.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
These are actual newspaper headlines. Now listen close. Some of these you have to kind of see, but listen close. Include your children when baking cookies. Give you a chance to get warmed up. A bank drive-in window blocked by board. Oh, well. Here's a headline. Steals clock, faces time. New vaccine may contain rabies. This is not for everybody, obviously. Some of you. Local high school dropouts cut in half. Oh, man, these are hard to even read. Let's go up for the 6 years of age and under deal. Kids make nutritious snacks. There's a headline. Listen closely now. New study of obesity looks for larger test groups. Oh, I didn't write these now. Man struck by lightning faces battery charge. Typhoon rips through cemetery, hundreds dead. Red tape holds up new bridge. Enfield's couple slain. Police suspect homicide. Cold wave linked to temperatures. War dims hope for peace. Oh my, they were supposed to be getting better. Killer sentenced to die for second time in 10 years. Now listen to this one. Two sisters reunited after 18 years in checkout counter. Two Soviet ships collide, one dies. Miners refuse to work after death. These are headlines. Do y'all read the paper at all? Do you ever even know what a headline is? Plane too close to ground, crash probe told. Enraged cow injures farmer with axe. Oh my goodness, Lord, give me a good one to end on here. I can't find one, Lord. I'll try this one. Drunk gets 9 months in violin case. All right, enough of that already. There we go. You can applaud now. All right. Today is the second in our series of God at Work, and we're taking some things that you have at work and comparing them. Today we're going to do sales and marketing. And believe it or not, sales and marketing is in the scriptures, and hopefully this will give you some new ways to do your sales and marketing of Christianity. Let me go through some of these things that there are some parallels. Most every company, if you pull out a business card, I could flash up here just something called a logo, right? And you'd know immediately what company it was, right? Sometimes a little swish symbol, it's Nike. I mean, there's just so many things that have a logo. Now, I want you to think about, that's called branding. And when you do branding, you have a logo. And I want you to think about what the Christian logo is and even the word logo. Well, that really was effective. So, if you go back and look at the word of logo or logos, it's a Greek word. And logos is the word for word, but a logo, and what is the Christian logo? Okay, now you think it's a cross. That is one of the symbols, but one of the earliest symbols was what? A fish. And now you've got, you know, Darwin swallowing fish. I mean, the logo's gotten adapted by some comedians out there. But basically, let me read you some things. This fish was called what? Does anybody know what this fish was called? Ichthus. And the ichthus is a symbol for Christianity. It has several different meanings. The word ichthus is Greek for fish and is also an acronym for this: Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. So when they drew a fish, like if you met in early Christianity when there were, you kind of had to go underground, the logo simply, somebody could take their foot and draw a fish in the sand, or they could just draw a fish with their hand and the other person would know you're a believer. I mean, no words had to be exchanged, but ichthus means Jesus Christos Theo Uios Soyer, which is Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. So they took the fish, symbolic of Jesus and his ministry, the acrostic for that word, and came up with this: Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. So there is a logo. Now, either it's the fish, and it's interesting, you don't see anybody driving around their Honda with a cross on the back usually. They stick a fish on there for some reason, and that identifies you. Now, let me just throw this in here. I don't recommend putting a fish on your car if you're heavy into sign language into traffic. Okay. If you have a problem communicating in the proper way with another car, I don't recommend a logo on your car. If you are a speeder, I don't recommend a logo on your car, a fish on your car. If you run red lights, which I think it's turned into this epidemic, everybody running red light. I mean, don't be putting a logo on your car if you're not gonna represent the logo, okay? I mean, you're making a fool of yourself, number one, and a mockery of the whole deal. Now, some people think it's cute, but they forget that thing's on their car. And then they go driving like everybody else and signing like everybody else, and I think we've already understand that. Don't use the logo if you're not gonna live the life. You're just better off, I think, not putting that thing, because it's not just a symbol, because some people look at that and expect something different from you. And if you walk into any, you know, company with a shirt, with a logo on your shirt, and if it says TXU, and you got that on there, either you got it at a garage sale or you work for that company. And if you work for that company, they ought to be able to expect something out of you because you are representing by wearing that. Or if you have a name tag on with a logo on it, it just, people expect something of you for wearing that. So believe it or not, as a Christian, you are the marketing force behind this product. Now, I hate to use these terms, but for comparison's purposes, what is the product? If Christianity has a product, what is the product? So the... Very interesting. We have a wider product line than I thought. Maybe we need a catalog and a website. All right, there are a lot of things this product does, okay? Now the product, let's just put it simply, the product is not really a thing. It's what? It's a person. And the great thing about this product that we have is we're not selling anything. Now it's not that it's not expensive, that it's not really priceless. It's not that what's provided to us doesn't have a value. It's free to anybody who wants it, but the only reason it's free is because somebody paid for this product. Right. You see what I'm saying? So when you go out, let's say the product is a person, is Jesus Christ, but what does he provide you? If you get a hold of this product, you know, you turn on the TV late at night and they got these infomercials. You know, if there was an infomercial for Christianity, what is it at the end of the commercial they'd say, you got to get this, because if you got this, this is the benefit to your life. And some of these things have been mentioned, but overwhelmingly, what do you think that is? Well, that was very clear. Good. Okay, let's go maybe one at a time. What are some things you heard out there? Eternal life. Salvation. Okay, salvation, eternal life. Christ. You said, okay, grace, maybe one of the things. Mercy. So there's a lot of things that come with it. I think one great word to sum it up with, guys, is life. You get a life. And you don't just get an eternal life. This is one of the misnomers of Christianity, is that if you get this Jesus, then you'll die and go to heaven. And my contention is most people's problem is not dying and going to heaven. It's not dying. What happens if I live? I'm in trouble. You know, if I die, I'm great, I'm fine, but I might live. And how do I make it from here, between here and heaven, till I get to heaven? So people's problem is not just eternal life, and frankly, a lot of people aren't even thinking about eternal life. They're trying to make it through today. They're trying to keep TXU from turning their lights off now that we're on a TXU, you know. And I might point out, they don't just randomly turn your lights off. It's usually connected to being disconnected from paying something. But all our TXU people, please stand. No, don't do that. And no, if you know someone there, they won't waive your bill and just keep your lights on. Because I've already tried that. Let's see. All right. It's life, it's eternal life, it's abundant life, and it's free. Now, the thing that is so confusing to people, anytime you see the word free, I mean, sometimes free is very expensive. Have you never noticed this? When somebody says free, now we have an ad that we do for our church. It says free for a limited time only, eternal life. And at the bottom in fine print, it says offer expires when you do. But what makes people so uncomfortable with free is nothing's free. There ain't no free lunch. So free makes us really nervous. So it can't be free. And I have people say to me, well, Richard, you know, you say this gift, that, you know, the Bible talks about the gift of eternal life is free. Well, there's nothing free. It can't be that easy. And when people say to me, it can't be that easy, I say, well, let me ask you a question. Easy for who? Who is this easy for? Because see, this free gift, this free product, this free thing that God offers you is free to you, but it costs somebody something to make it free to you. And the fact that it is so easy for us to take this gift freely meant that it was so difficult for God because it cost him his son. I mean, somebody endowed this program. There is a trust fund of sorts that was put into place that covers everybody. And because of that endowment, because of that trust fund, because of that payment that was made and put in place, then everybody's covered, and anybody, whosoever will, the book says, can come. Whosoever. Now, guys, I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. And it is so hard for people just to walk up with empty hands and say, okay, I'll take it. Because they think there's strings attached. They think, well, if I take this from God, he's going to snag me on the backside, and, you know, there's going to be some fine print that I didn't know was in the Bible, and he's got me. And he's going to screw my life up, and I'll have to move to some godforsaken place and marry some ugly man, you know, whatever it is. And he's going to wreck me if I trust him. How could you not trust a father who would lay down his own son so you could have a life eternal and abundant? I mean, it's just an unbelievable thing. And the fact that it is so incredible and that it is free makes people a little nervous. Now, sometimes the marketing people, the salespeople, if you will, are the most hesitant about this thing because you don't really know how to explain to somebody free. And if they say, well, what do you mean it's free? You say, well, it's just free. And they'll say, well, why is it free? And that's where you think if they start asking me questions, I don't know the website to refer them to, you know, and I don't have a catalog to give them in the way you do, though. You can give them the book. But you're afraid that as a salesperson, you need some more training or you can't go out there in the field and present your product. Does anybody feel this way? Now, the word for this is evangelism, or train in the scriptures. It talks about sharing your faith. And as you're going, and I'll read that scripture in a minute, as you're going, letting your life that is full, hopefully, overflow to people around you and communicate these things. All right, let me give you a few more things here. The product is free. Who's the sales force? Christians. If there's a sales force, it's Christians. Oddly enough, though, there are non-believers out there who are a pretty good sales force. Because sometimes non-believers have done enough research about Christianity, they're not in yet, but they believe in the product more than some Christians. And they can articulate more clearly what you say you believe if you're a Christian than what they don't even believe yet, because they've pursued it enough. Who's the sales manager? Holy Spirit. You've been studying up on this, haven't you? He was at the sales meeting, though. All right. Sales managers, the Holy Spirit. What's the sales manual? The Bible. Wow, you people know a lot about this. How are sales? That's what I was afraid of. All right. Who's the chairman of the board? God the Father, or as I put it, the Godfather. He is the chairman of the board. Now, let me give you the sales and marketing for the Old Testament is in Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them, talking about Adam and Eve, and God said to them, here's your marketing strategy. Be fruitful and multiply. That seems like an easy job. giving what it involves. But be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. You're in charge. Take it. Multiply. And then you can trace every human being on the planet back to Adam and Eve. So they did something right. They figured something out. Then you go to the New Testament, Matthew 28, 18, is the spiritual. That was the physical marketing plan. In the New Testament, the spiritual one, it comes at one of the places in Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now, if there's something you've got to have in a company to make a decision is what? Authority. You have got to have the authority to make a decision or you're toast. Because if you make a decision and there's no one or nothing or no organization or a person above you somewhere that will back you up, you're in trouble. Because when you pull the trigger and say, this is where we're going, this is what we're going to do, and somebody says, well, I'm not going, somebody behind you better say, yes, we are, whatever he says. And this is a disaster in companies. If you're in some kind of structure and you make a decision and someone does an end run and goes to your supervisor and says, well, so-and-so said in our sales meeting, this is what we're going to do. I don't think that's the best thing to do. What do you think? If that person doesn't say whatever she or he said, that's what we're doing, they have undermined the whole structure of the company. And I guess a lot of people in this room have been in that situation where somebody had a relationship, ran around somebody, and it just, the whole thing starts to topple. Somebody has to be in a place where they can make a decision and it sticks. They have the authority, the power, so to speak, to pull it off. Jesus looks at this bunch, his small sales group at that point, and he says, look, I've got the authority to tell you what I'm about to tell you and tell you that you can go do what I'm going to tell you to do. I'll back you up. And he did. And it's been working for 2,000 years. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I'm in control, in charge of everything. I'll back you up. Verse 19. Usually it reads, go therefore. But if you look at this, the word really means as you are going. So when are you supposed to do your selling? When are you supposed to do this presentation? As you're going. All the time, every day, you look for opportunities. And this is, now, if somebody sells Amway and all this stuff, Shackley, whatever it is, I'm not disparaging anything, but if you get somebody who gets involved in something like that, they make lists of their family, people they were in kindergarten with. I mean, it's just this unbelievable thing. They will call, they get focused and consumed almost with any and everybody they see sharing their new products, right? Now, why is that? There is a monetary remuneration of some kind coming to them or they wouldn't do it. And they get passionate about it because they believe if I don't go after it, I'm not going to make a living at this. And they're doing it because they need some extra money maybe or they want to do that full time. As you're going, have these conversations. I'm not saying make a list, but that's not all bad. And I will recommend this. I would recommend that you make a customer list before the end of the day and ask yourself this question. Who is it that I know in my life right now that needs this product? Who needs a life? Is it my mom? Is it my dad? Is it my sister, my brother, my aunt, my uncle, my cousin, my neighbor, my husband, my wife, my kids? And get you a sales call list. You get a list and you say, these are potential customers. And you say, God, now my job, I got a life and they need a life. And supposedly the life that I have now because of you has changed my life so dramatically that I'd love for anybody who doesn't have a life to get this kind of life. So Father, show me who these people are. Who are my potential customers? Who is it that you're after? And you make a list and then you start to pray. You start to say, okay, now God, how can I, do I cold call them? Let me tell you something. I've sold for years. There is nothing worse than picking up the phone and cold calling somebody. You know why? Because they could say what?
No.
Yeah, but they could also say what? Exactly, and that's why you call them. People say, well, you might as well call them. All they can say is no. That's the biggest lie on the planet. And I tell salespeople all the time, don't believe that for a second. If you do believe that, don't call anybody ever again. Because if all they can say is no, why are you calling them? Hi, I'm Richard Ellis. I called to tell you, I know you're going to say no anyway, but I just want to hear your voice. Because all you can say is no. See, we go into it negative. We assume somebody's going to say no. And the reason people do not market their faith, if you want to use that word, or they don't market their product if they work for a company, is that we are terrified basically of one thing. What is it? Rejection. We've all been rejected from the day we were born. I want more milk than I got, and I didn't get it. And we start screaming. You're rejecting me, you know, and it's over and over. I want to go outside. No, you know, stop rejecting me. We don't want to hear no. Kiss me again. No, you know, I don't want to be. You say, well, all they can say is no. That's not true. I've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people literally in my lifetime say yes. In fact, very seldomly does somebody say no. You know why? Because everybody's looking for a life. And you carry this treasure. You got the product in you. You don't have to carry it with you. You have it in you if you're a believer. And when you see someone, and the sales manager who lives in you too, by the way, says, now, this is a live customer. Go for it. Because I've been working on them for 10 years, 20 years. I've got all this seed in the ground, all these circumstances set. Ask them if they want to buy. And the toughest thing to teach a salesperson is to ask that question and shut up. Now, I know this may not be a good time for you right now. And, you know, just say, would you like to buy this whatever right now? And look at them. Get quiet. Nobody says anything. And they'll go, well, yeah, I think I would. And you're shocked to death, you know. Really? You want this? You know, wow, you know. Cool, I don't know if we have it, but I'll find out, you know. But if you sit down with somebody, you don't have to make this stuff up if it's your life. You sit down with somebody and say, you know what, I don't know where you're coming from, but this is my deal. I was living boom, 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 boom. This is what I went through, and I needed a life, and somebody explained to me that somebody loved me, God loved me, gave his son to die for me, was buried, raised from the dead, and man, that's what I was looking for, and I accepted this gift of eternal life. It's unbelievable that it's free, but it is, and he came to live in me and through me, and he's changed my life. Would you be interested in this? And if you're excited about it, and it's not all cranked up out of nowhere, they go, wow, that sounds cool, and I've been watching you anyway. This looks like the great thing to have, and yeah, I'll do it. How do I get it? Well, pray with me right now. God, I've screwed up. I know I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness, and I've been looking for you my whole life and didn't know it. And I thank you that you came looking for me, and if this is really free, and Jesus died for me, and he shed his blood to pay for my sin, was buried and raised from the dead, then God, I'm asking you to forgive me. You're offering me forgiveness of sin, eternal life. Come live in me and through me and change me just like this person who's offered this thing to me as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, that's how you get it. You don't have to sign some contract. Jesus already signed the contract. And it's signed in blood, by the way. It's irrevocable, irreversible. But you have this thing in you. You are the salt of the world. You're the light of the world. You're it. And God wants to work in you and through you. And as you are going, you will let him use you. You'll be amazed at how many people around you are looking for a life. And you are the sales. You are the marketing. You are it. And without you, they're not going to get it. But with you, not just by hearing what you have to say, but seeing the way you live, that's what draws them in. That's what makes them want what you've got. So let's be about that today.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. We get it and want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellis.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall so others can pray for you as well. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellis.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Let's pray. And our Father, I thank you so much for your word and for the way you've left this amazing plan, God at work, in our lives and in the world around us, Lord, where we work, where we live. And Father, you know the list of people that we know that are sucking air so bad, Father, they don't even think they can hold on another day. And we walk around with the answer living in us. And I pray, Father, that you'd make us sensitive, aware, give us discernment to know what to say and when to say it, but to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within us. Father, I thank you for those that are listening right now and feel like they've been in a sales meeting maybe of sorts, but realize that they need what we've been talking about, Lord. And they know that you love them now and that it really is free, as incredible as that sounds. It really is free. And they want this life, and they know they've sinned, they've screwed up, need forgiveness. But they'd reach out the hands of their heart and say, God, come live in me, forgive me, save me, give me a life, not only eternal, but abundant between here and heaven. God, thank you for loving us and that you do have a plan, you do have a purpose, and it's not just for us to die and go to heaven, it's to live and take others with us. And may we be about that this day, we pray. For Jesus' sake, for their sake, and our sake. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. We all have busy schedules these days, so it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Richard would love to know how today's talk has touched your heart, so give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also share your story with us at our website, richardellis.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program that is always expanding to reach the world with the good news of the gospel, but it also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program like ours means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. We believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by calling 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellis.com. Thank you for your generosity. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.